This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah wahdah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: العلماء ورثة الأنبياء. أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, there are certain categories of people in our society that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them a special rank. And Allah Ta'ala has given them superiority over others. And we are called upon to revere and respect them. So we find, for example, Allah Ta'ala tells us about respecting our parents. Now one such category of people in our community is that of the ulama and the learned. And there is no doubt whatsoever that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the ulama superiority. And Allah Ta'ala has given them a very great rank. And Allah has called upon people to show respect to them. And part of that superiority is, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, Al-ulama warathatul anbiya, that the ulama are the inheritors and the heirs of the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa innal anbiya lam yuwarithu dinaru wala dirhama. The Anbiya do not leave behind the inheritance in the form of wealth, in the form of dirhams and dinars. They leave behind the inheritance in the form of knowledge. And whoever takes from knowledge, takes from the inheritance of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Hamara shariat mein kuch khas tabaqe hai, jinhe fauqiyat di gayi hai. Aur hame hukam hua hai ke un خاص طبقے کے حضرین ہم عزت و احترام کریں ان میں سے ایک طبقہ علماء کا ہے نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا علماء انبیاء علیہ السلام کے وارث ہیں Now for example some of the superiority نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم had said العلماء ورثة الانبیاء اللہ تعالیٰ in the holy Quran says يرفع اللہ الذين آمنوا منكم وأوتوا العلم درجات يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ Allah Ta'ala has given a special rank to the Ahl ilm. In one ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَعُلُوا الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ Allah Ta'ala bears testimony. And the malaika bear testimony. And the ulama bear testimony that there is no one worthy of worship besides Allah. And the ulama say, look at this verse. Allah has put the shahadat and the testimony of the ulama in this verse together with the testimony of the malaika and together with the testimony of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala ne ulama ke jo shahadat is ayat mein malaika aur Allah ta'ala ke saath saath rakha hai is ayat mein. Allah has put the testimony of the ulama together with the malaika and together with the testimony of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such is the rank of the ulama. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi had said, the example of the ulama is like the stars in the sky. Ulama ke misal, wo taro ke misal hai. The way, for example, in stars, you take guidance from them, especially in the night for people who are traveling in the ocean. People who are in this world, they take guidance from the ulama to lead their life. So this is something. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilma, sahhalallahu lahu tariqan ila al-jannah. Whoever seeks a path in search of knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the door and eases the door for him for Jannah. Now one thing we must keep in mind that there, we sometimes, you know, when we talk of knowledge, we know we got contemporary knowledge and we got deeni knowledge. Now contemporary knowledge is not haram. I made mention of it previously. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said, sometimes it is permitted, sometimes it is farz kifaya. Ye asri ulum ka parna parana koi haram nahi hai. There is not haram. کبھی کبھار تو اس کے یہ جواز ہے اور کبھی کبھار فرض کفایہ ہے. سو دی از ناٹ حرام. ہاؤ ایور دی از اے گریٹ ڈفرنس ان دا رینک بٹوین دیز ٹو نالج. ٹو گین کنٹمپرری نالج از ناٹ حرام. سم ٹائمز اف اے پرسن گین دیٹ نالج ود اے پراپر انٹینشن اینڈ ہی فلفلز دا رائٹ آف دیٹ نالج, ہی سروز ہیومینٹی تھرو دیٹ, اللہ تعالیٰ کین گرانٹ ہم جنہ, ایز دیر آر مینی ایگزامپلز دیٹ یو نو اور علماء ہیو میڈ مینشن آف. سو اے پرسن کین گین جنہ بائی یو نو لرننگ کنٹمپرری نالج اینڈ سرونگ پیپل. بٹ دا ٹو دیر از اے واسٹ ڈفرنس بٹوین دا ٹو. ون دا اوریجن آف ون نالج از ہیومن کیپیسٹی, ہیومن انٹلیکٹ. ایک طبقہ جو علم کا ہے, جو عصری علوم, اس کا جو ہے ماخذ کیا ہے, ہمارے عقل ہے. اور دینی علوم کا جو ماخذ ہے, and what is the origin of dini knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How can you compare the two? That is why it comes in a hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that the superiority of the alim over the abid is like the superiority of the moon, superiority of the moon over all the stars, and the sun over all other celestial objects. So there is no doubt with regard to it. We need to keep this particular aspect in mind, that while there is permitted, the superiority of dini knowledge is far more greater than contemporary knowledge. However, together with, you know, the fazilat and the virtue, which I've just given you some examples, because there are many aspects that I would like to cover, the responsibility of ulama are very great. The responsibility of ulama is very great. And because of this responsibility, it does not behove anyone who has any knowledge to take pride. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has made mention of it, that because of the responsibility of ulama, it does not behove them to become proud and arrogant, because they have to worry about fulfilling the responsibility. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written that there are two tabqas of people, there are two categories of people. If they are correct, then the society tends to become correct. One of them is the ulama, and one of them is the wealthy people. Wealthy people have an influence. If wealthy people become, you know, morally incorrect, and morally they become compromise, it has an impact upon society. And if they become pious, it has an impact upon society. As Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَإِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا. That when Allah Ta'ala wants to destroy the nation, the people whom Allah has favored, they become transgressors. So this is something that we have to keep in mind. And the ulama, you know, in the previous time, they used to give this example, that ulama are like salt. You see, previously they used to use salt to preserve the meat. There was no refrigeration. So the salt used to preserve the meat. وہ نمک کو استعمال کرتے تھے گوشت کی حفاظت کے لیے. So they said the ulama are like salt to the meat. The way they use salt to preserve the meat, the ulama are those who preserve the moral fabric of society. Now can you imagine if the salt itself becomes decayed, what will happen with the meat? In a similar manner, what will happen to society? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid if the ulama become decayed. Therefore, we have to make dua for the ulama. It is very important. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has spoken about the responsibility of the ulama. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. The ulama are those who fear Allah. The real alim is he who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In today's time, you know, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in one hadith, it is such a, you know, and I must make mention of it from the very outset. I'm not making mention of this for any personal motive. I don't regard myself as an alim, I regard myself as a student who follow ulama. Right? And there are ulama whom we follow, whom we show respect to. There might be differences amongst ulama, but there are ulama that we show respect to, maybe in the field that you are working on, there are other ulama who are working in that field, and you take guidance from them. However, what I don't do it for any personal motive, but such is the responsibility of the ulama that in one hadith in Ibn Majah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, مَنْ طَلَبَ الْعِلْمِ لِيُجَارِ بِهِ الْعُلَمَا وَلْيُمَارِ بِهِ السُّفَهَا. Whoever gains knowledge to win the debate of knowledge with other ulama, and with the intention of silencing people who are ignorant, and to turning people's attention towards him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn his face away from Jannat, and Allah will turn Jannat away from him. جو صحیح نیت کے ساتھ علم کو اختیار نہ کرے, اللہ تعالیٰ اس کو جنت میں جگہ نہیں دیں گے. یہ حدیث ہے ابن ماجہ کا. And today, the responsibility of the ulama have increased because of the challenges. Today, what challenges don't we have? We have LGBTQ, we have identity crisis. Because of that, the responsibility of the ulama have increased. Whenever you look at history, you will find that the ulama were in the forefront of challenging all types of deviations. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, when the masla of creation of the Quran came, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh against the Mu'tazilites, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh against the philosophers of the time, Imam Mujaddid al-Faisani rahmatullah alayh against Deen Akbar, where he wanted to amalgamate all the religions. It's from that time the ulama were in the forefront. Today, what is the responsibility of the ulama? Very briefly, let me just give you some examples. Present Islam to our youth, to the new generation, in a language, in a context they can understand, and we need to take them with us for them to be able to practice upon deen. This is one of the great challenges that we have. And also, to reconcile with modernity. Today, we all know that modern technology, etc., is part of our life. How do we reconcile that modernity without the loss of Muslim identity, without the loss of Muslim tradition, without the loss of Muslim values? That is now a challenge. Ulama have to lead the way. How do we reconcile modernity without losing our identity, without losing our values, without losing our teachings? Advocacy for Muslim interests in a minority situation. When the ulama wrote those books today, the fiqh books, they wrote it when Muslims were in power. Today, we many places, we're not in power. In fact, maybe perhaps the whole world, we're not in power. Even in Muslim countries, we're not in power. Now, how do you advocate for Muslim interests in a minority situation? Like, for example, in South Africa. How do we do it? Activism against injustices and social ills. Because Allah Ta'ala has told us that we are supposed to fight for justice and to fight against injustice. Guiding our communities towards the ideal of Islam in a largely secular order. These are some of the challenges, and above all, one of the greatest challenges I feel is presenting Islam to the people as a solution to their worldly problems. Hamari ulama ki zimmedari hai ki logon ko bataye ki jo bhi aapke mushkilat hai uska hal Islam mein hai. Ab ulama ki zimmedari hai ki jo hai na awam ko ye bataye aapke tamam tar mushkilat ka hal Islam mein hai. Now that is the responsibility of the ulama. Therefore, we always say that, you know, this is the responsibility of the ulama. Now, many times people make this particular statement. I've heard this many times, many people make this statement. But ulama kya karte hai? What do the ulama do? Brothers, what would have been the result of the social fabric of society if there was not ulama? When you look at the history of Islam, you will find that the ulama made tremendous sacrifices for the preserving of deen. Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayh used to spend long hours, you know, making mutala. He used to study and he used to try and find solutions for, you know, the problems and the difficulties that the people are facing. So one day his daughter came and said, "Oh my Abba, oh my father, look at everyone. They are all sleeping. You are spending half the night, most of the night, you are looking at your kitabs, trying to find solution for the problems that the Muslims are facing. Why don't you also go and sleep? Aap kyun aaram nahi farmate?" And what a remarkable reply he gave. He said, "Oh my daughter, people are sleeping. People are sleeping, confident that the ulama are going to preserve the deen. If we also going to sleep, who's going to preserve the deen? Hum bhi agar jaakar so jaye, to deen ki zimmedari kaun lega?" Isliye jo hai na hum raat bhar jo hai na mutala karte hain. Imam Saraghsi rahmatullah alayh, this is one of the most amazing incidents I've ever read. Imam Saraghsi rahmatullah alayh was imprisoned by the governor of the time because he opposed the governor. So where he put him in prison? Where did he put him in prison? In the bottom of a well. Kuwe mein unko jo hai na wo qaid kar diya gaya. In the bottom of a well. So Imam Saraghsi rahmatullah alayh, the students used to come round the well. And he used to give dars from the bottom of the well. And from the bottom of the well, he indicated and he gave lessons from the bottom of the well, which have been compiled in a book known as Mabsut, 30 volumes. Because of that, that is the basis of the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh. 30 volumes he taught from the bottom of the well. You know, when we were studying in Karachi, There used to be a Khalid dinner hall. So we used to go past and we always used to remember this incident. That Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah Ali was taken in prison by the British. First he went to Malta. Then he went many times, he went 3 or 4 times to prison. So when he came to Karachi, because he fought against colonialism, he fought against British injustice at the time in the subcontinent, his trial took place in the Khalik Dinner Hall in Karachi. Right? So the judge told him and said, you have given a fatwa to cooperate with the British is haram. Do you still stand by that? Do you know for that particular fatwa is treason? And the punishment for treason is death. So Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madni Rahmatullah in the court, he said, Maine fatwa diya hai aur abhi bhi main kehta hoon. I gave the fatwa and I'm saying this in court, that for Muslims to cooperate with the British is haram. So Maulana Muhammad Ali Johar Rahmatullah Ali caught his kurta and said, Maulana, just modify your statement. Modify your statement, otherwise this particular situation can lead to your death. You could be executed. So Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani Rahmatullah Ali said, don't worry, Hussain Ahmad Madani apne kafan Deoban se leke aaya hai. I brought my kafan from Deoban. Even if I have to be executed. And even in our country, what would be the situation with regard to the dini condition of people if there were no ulama? So this is, my dear respected, the service of ulama. Now it is our responsibility to respect the ulama. As I said, I'm not saying it because of any personal motive. I'm talking about in a general way. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, that person is not a Muslim. Or Musalman hi nahi hai. Who does not show compassion to the youngsters. Who does not show respect to the elderly. And does not show respect to our ulama. So ulama ke ihtiram nahi karte, wo hum mein se nahi hai. He is not part of our religion. Wo hum mein se nahi hai. Subhanallah. And you know, ulama have made mention, you see, in every particular country you have a flag. So you people respect the flag, and respecting that flag is regarded to be respecting the country. If anyone disrespects the flag, in many countries that is treason. He can be imprisoned. Now what is a flag? It is only a symbol. Our ulama, I've heard my Tisham al-Tami Rahmatullah saying, the ulama are like the flags of Islam. When you respect an alim, you're not respecting an individual. You're respecting a symbol. Because he carries within him the knowledge of Allah and his Rasul. He carries within him the knowledge of Allah and his Rasul. So you're not respecting his personality. You're respecting the knowledge that he's got. And that is what we respect. So you don't respect a personality, you respect the knowledge and his upholding. And that is why it's important that we keep this in mind. Now many a times people say, what do we do when ulama differ? Hum kya kare? Ulama jo hai na wo aapas mein ladte hain. This is something that is common. Now ulama themselves are fighting. They themselves are calling one another names. They themselves are disrespecting one another. Hum kya kare? What must we do when there is difference of opinion among ulama? Now it would have been good. Ye behtar hota ke jo hai na ulama apne ikhtilaf ko mahdood rakhte hain. Aur logon ke samne na lete. Ek dusre ko bura bala na kehte. Ye acha hota. Would have been good. That the ulama would have resolved their matters in-house. They would not have brought it in the public sphere. They would not have, you know, spoke bad about one another in the public sphere. Because what happens there is, it leads to disrespect of the ulama across the board. People who are doing that don't realize the consequences. A time could come that people would become brave and brazen because you have opened the door. But irrespective of that, that is something for them to keep in mind. However, it is our responsibility to show respect to the ulama. Even if there is difference of opinion. Even if there is. What must we do in difference of opinion? Ulama ke darmiyan agar ikhtilaf hai, to hum kya kare? Ulama ne likha hai, jin ulama par hume bharosa hai, unki taqleed kare. Dusre ulama ki tanqeed kiye bagair. You don't have to criticize any other alim if you want to follow a particular alim. If you want to follow an alim, follow him. You got trust in him. You can't go and make mention. You can't force people to follow any particular person. Why someone likes another person? Why he wants to follow? What does he find inspiring? What does he find motivational? You don't know. Whoever wants to follow an alim, let him follow him. But he doesn't have to criticize another alim for him to follow this alim. Like, for example, we see many a times, you go to the doctor. One doctor say, you have to go and make an operation. The other doctor say, no, don't go and do the operation. It is harmful for you. I have seen it many times in my own family. Sometimes you get 3-4 different opinions within the medical fraternity. What do? You look at all of those particular type of, you know, views, and you say that, listen, this particular doctor, because of some reason, I feel that his particular view, I would like to follow. I don't want to go and do an operation. I don't want to take the risk of doing operation. So you follow the doctor with whom you got trust in. But you don't go and swear the other doctor. This is the situation with regard to our ulama. That whomsoever you have trust in, you follow them. And those whom you do not want to follow, don't follow. There is no compulsion in this particular situation. So these are some of the aspects that we have made mention of with regard to the virtue, significance, responsibility, and our respect that we need to show to the ulama. And you make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the ulama. Because by protecting them, they will protect the deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to show respect to them. Because respecting them is not only respecting the individual personalities, it is respecting the deen of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.